doesn't seem like we can control it. It doesn't seem like our politicians can do the job. It doesn't seem like our military does the job. It doesn't seem like our local politicians do the job. It just doesn't seem like everybody is doing what they're allowed to do, what they're supposed to do. And, you know, and I worry about the war over in Europe, and I worry about North Korea, and I worry about all these things, and I can't help but to think back, you know, God has taken his nation and brought them through trials and tribulations so he can get them to where they come back to him, that they're not doing the idolatry and all that, that they turn around and they come back to him, which is where they started from. You know, you take a look around and there's the LGBT community, and bless their hearts, you know, I know God loves them too. There's just a lot of things going on. But with all the things that are going on now, it's no different than in the past, because a lot of things were happening then. If you think back to Jerusalem, to Judea, and the Assyrians, you know, had conquered Judea and had kept it in bondage for quite some time. We're going to be looking in the book of Nahum, and I'm going to start out with, first of all, the day that was written was approximately sometime right around 63 B.C. to 612 B.C. Particular prophecy took place after the fall of Thebes in 663 B.C. Starting out in verse 1, and we're going to read all of chapter 1. Starting out in verse 1, an oracle concerning Neve and the book and the vision of Nahum, I can't pronounce some of these words, Ephesites, the Lord angered against Neve. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foe and maintains his wrath against his enemies. Now, in a way, that should scare you, because God's wrath, you know, the Jews have felt God's wrath and had to turn back to him. You know, we as a country have turned away from God, and I can't help thinking that in a short period of time, God will show his wrath. He'll show his wrath on this world. He'll show us exactly what we're doing wrong, what can we do to save ourselves. And it says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. Now remember that. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. So when you've got that neighbor, or you see that person and you're saying, they got away with it scot-free. No. It says the Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. You may not see the punishment during your time or during your association with the person, but God will punish those that show the evil against him. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm and the clouds and the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of the Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand the indignation? Who can endure the fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And listen, he cares for those that trust in him. No matter what you're going through, you can turn it over to God, and he will take care of it. He will get you through it. It may not be what you like. It may not be in your time period or anything else. But just like he showed Judah with the Assyrians, you know, that he can overcome everything. You know, it says that he can make the rivers run dry, you know, and the mountains quake and the hills melt away. Only God has that power. Only God is the only God is the one that we should be following and talking to and being a part of. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end to Nineveh. Does that sound familiar? A little bit further back in the Old Testament, in Genesis with Noah and his flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into darkness. Notice you can't get away from them. No matter what you do, you can't get away from them. Whatever they plot against the Lord, he will bring to an end. The trouble will not come a second time. There will be entangled among thorns and drunk among their wines. They will be consumed like dry stubble who plots evil against the Lord and counsels the wickedness. This is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, they will be cut off and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck. You see, a lot of folks have a problem coming to Jesus, accepting salvation, because they think that they've done too much wrong, that there's no way that God would forgive them for their past. But all it says right here, you know, it says, although I have afflicted you, so in other words, although you have troubles, you know, although I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. God can clean that all up. All he asks you to do is to come to him, to kneel in front of him, to accept him as your Savior, our fair and loving Jesus Christ. The Lord has given a command concerning you. You should have no descendants to bear your name. I will destroy the carved images and cast idols there are in the temple of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. Look there in the mountains and the feet of one who brings good news and proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you, that they will be completely destroyed. And now when you're thinking about that, here's a little comment or commentary to go along with that. And starts out with, the shrill whistle pierces the air and all the action on the court abruptly stops. Pointing to the offending player, the referee shouts, foul! Rules, fouls, and penalties are part of any game and are regulated and enforced vigorously by the referees, umpires, judges, or other officials. Every participant knows the boundaries must be set and behavior monitored, or the game would degenerate into chaos. There are laws in the world as well as boundaries and rules for the living established by God. But men and women regularly flaunt these regulations. Men and women regularly flaunt these regulations. Just think about that. You know, men and women are, that's nothing. He's nothing. Well, I'm a good guy, I'll go. Or whatever the case might be. hiding in their infractions or overpowering others and declaring that they make right. God calls this sin. Willful disobedience, rebellion against His control, or apathy. And at times it seems as though the violators succeed. No whistles blow, no fouls are called. The individual dictators rule. The truth is, however, that ultimately justice will be served in the world. God will settle all accounts. Not some, but all accounts. Our Heavenly Father will take the evils of the world and will destroy them. And in doing so, our Savior, we get to stay with, live with. Assyria was the most powerful nation on earth, proud in their self-sufficiency and military might. They plundered the oppressed and slaughtered their victims. 100 years earlier, Jonah had preached in the streets of the city, Nineveh. The people had heard God's message and had turned from their evil. But generations later, and this is what bothers me about the United States, this is what bothers me about the world, that generations later, we could have a calamity so horrible that everybody's on their knees, everybody is praying, but you give it another 10 or 20 years, and that calamity ceases to be, even be a memory. And so what happens? The old living starts again. You talk about idols the old things. Well, we don't need God anymore, that's all done, so we don't need Him. You know, we can take care of this ourselves. But generations later, the evil was regaining, and the prophet Nahum pronounced judgment on the wicked nation. Nineveh is called the city of blood, a city of cruelty, and the Assyrians are judged for their arrogance, idolatry, murder, lies, treachery, and social injustice. Because of their sins, Nahum predicted that this proud and powerful nation would be utterly destroyed. Not some of it, not cast into the four winds, but utterly destroyed. And the end came within 50 years. Now, Nahum was a prophet, and he told the people of Judah what was going to happen. But you know, nobody really kind of believed him. They thought, yeah. But God took that curse off of them, put it on the Assyrians, and what Nahum had promised actually came true. All it took was 50 years. And then as you read this judgment of Assyria, and as you read them since God's wrath and avenges sin and brings about justice, then God, to live under His guidance and within His rules, commands, and guidelines for life. You know, God doesn't ask a whole lot from us. All He asks is for our love towards Him. All He wants is for us to love Him back, to love Him like He loves us. You know, and so many times, like I said before, we start out and we love Christ and we give our love to God. And we hang in there and we're hot in heaven. Boy, we're hot in heaven. We're going from thing in the church to thing in the church. And you're involved in the worship. And you're involved in outside services. And you're involved in everything that the church has going on. But are you talking to Christ? Are you talking to Jesus? Or are you just doing the things that you are doing just to be that up that standard in the church? You know, do we actually believe? Are we actually willing to give everything we have to Jesus Christ? And the answer to that should be yes. And with that, we should give away any arrogance, which I have a problem with arrogance. Ego, all those kind of things, to turn around and give it to the Lord and ask the Lord to guide us and direct us in everything that we do. I know the I know it wasn't very long this morning, but that's kind of what God had put into my heart. So if we want, we're going to go ahead and close out our service. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Jesus. We know that we fall short of you every day. We know that that there are evils and things out there that we can get caught up in. We know that being around the wrong people, we can get caught up in things. But you know what, God? If we have your strength and we have your love and your power, we can take those evil things and we can turn them around. We can take those people that are filled with hatred and we can turn them around to love you, Father, because it is you that we walk through. It is you that we obey, Father. We thank you in all of your name, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.